calling now. Okay, there you go.
So anyway, so Julia was gone the other night, and it was Mabel, Hazel, and I. And when Hazel is being fed, and there's only one parent here, and someone knocks on the door and Memphis loses his goddamn mind. The only way you're going to get Memphis to be quiet is answer the door and send them away. I had Mabel go to the door and answer it. I also thought it may be mom and she needed help. Her hands were full or something like that. I had her open the door. She's like, I go, is it mom? She goes, no, it's some guy. And I was like, okay, just close the door. She's like, dad, he wants to talk to you. And I was like, tell him I can't come to the door because I'm feeding Hazel. And she goes, she leans out the door and she goes, my dad can't come to the door. He's feeding Hazel and his breasts hurt.
Oh my God, no. I love her. I love her. I love everything about her.
She's so funny.
Mabel for the win. Oh my God. Oh, I needed that. Thank you.
I'm glad that makes you feel better.
She said your breasts hurt. Okay, I'm back. Can you high five her for me?
Maybe later. Hey, look at this.
Oh, you got the stickers from Artie. I love the Saddy Daddy-O. That means I need to check my P.O. box.
Need to check it. And well, I got that one. This is my favorite one of him.
I do love that one.
I like this one a lot. I think
he's a handsome feller.
He is a good looking boy.
Yes, that's awesome. I love the keychain. Hey, so do you want to hear about my trip? Ask me about my trip.
Tell me about, so I know that you are a world traveler and recently you've went on an expedition. Would you please tell us about it?
Okay, you see what had happened was, well, you know the smashed toe?
Yeah.
It's quote unquote healed, but it still hurts sometimes. And I was having a day because I had to be on a bad day. So I had to go on a trip on a bad day. And I was sitting there and me and my daughter were eating and I was on the couch and a blanket over me and I was eating. And I'm doing this new thing where I'm not dieting. I'm just like halfway through a meal. I'm like, am I still hungry? And that particular day I wasn't hungry. So I went to get up off the couch, right? But the blanket miraculously, I'm going to have to stand up shit. The blanket miraculously wrapped around my foot and between that toe.
Oh.
And I went to get up and it hurt. And it hurt like when I broke it. So by the way, it's retaped. So I'm like this, getting off the couch. So I don't know what else to do. And I'm like, I'm going to smash my face on my solid wood coffee table. So because here's the coffee table and here's where my daughter's footstool is. This is important. So I go like this and reach out for both, but I had food in my hand and I thought food or face, and I chose face. So I drop it. I just fling it and I quickly grab myself because it was like a really slow fall, but I was trying to balance. I can't. And so I go like this, but it's really like this. Like this, and the food hits the fucking floor and then pies me right in the face.
How and hard, like, did you throw that bastard down?
I was choosing not to get another head injury, Brent. That's how that went down.
You were choosing not to. Like, the choice was not get a head injury. However, fate intervened. You're going to get a head injury anyway. And I might take that. Bam.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Great. It's been a busy fucking week, but it's good. It's in a good way, you know.
I think for good, you, it's been a good. Busy life.
Yeah,
a busy couple life. Of years for sure.
Yeah. True story for sure. But in a good way. Oh, tired.
Okay, so
mountain biking will wear you out.
I have her intro ready. If you want me to do it.
No, I'm not ready. Please wait.
Damn it.
What
about now?
Honey, we got no. Shut up.
Now? Mom? Are we there yet?
Are
we there yet?
Okay, introduction, please.
All right. Here we go. She isn't Taylor Swift. She's a boot-stomping, foul-mouthed songwriter with stories ranging from heartbreak to hookers. Now, with a record deal, this artist is poised to release her album Sticks and Stones. With us today, Trashy Annie.
Woo! What's up, everybody? Hello.
Hello. So you have been so busy since the last time we saw you or spoke to you, which was October when we did the live show.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute.
Wow. You were one of the hardest working women, I think, ever. You have been finishing an album, touring, making videos, promoting, and still somehow managing to have a life, which you're going to have to talk to me solo on the side and explain to me how that happens. Are you tired?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really fucking tired. you think I have a life outside of that? I do not. It is all of that. Yeah, I am really tired. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. The album drops. I can't remember when this is gonna air, but it will probably have dropped by the time it does.
Well, it has been out for a week.
Got it. Okay, so it's been out for a week. So yes, and I was just talking to somebody the other day, and it's kind of like Christmas, right? You get so excited when you're a kid and you wait for the greatest thing and you all this lead up, and then it's Christmas Day, and then the day after Christmas you're just passed out with all your cool toys around you and you're like, well, now what? Now, you know, this is awesome. However, you know, what's next? And I think that is sort of where my head is at right now, because I've got a lot of music written for the next album and probably the one after that. And so I'm kind of chomping at the bit because I've been living in this music for a while now, you know, with getting it through pre-production and tracking it and all the things and making promo videos and making music videos. And you just live in it to the point where you're kind of sick of it. And you're like, I like these tunes, but holy crap, I want to work on some new stuff. And so that's kind of where my head's at right now. So yeah, I'm tired, but I'm also excited because I love this album. I think it came out great. I'm super excited with the end result. And I hope people like it, because I think we put a lot of work into it, and it's a fun album, I think, anyway.
Are you going to hit the road again after the release? I know you've already kind of been out doing stuff and touring. Are you going to let yourself have a little bit of break and kind of enjoy the release? Or are you just going to keep rolling?
Pretty much keep rolling. We're going to get on the road in June. So we're heading out back to the East Coast, and then we'll hit Nashville. We're actually doing Nashville for the second time, which will be cool. We play a gig in Austin on the night of June 20th, and then which is a Tuesday night, and then we drive overnight to Nashville and play Nashville the next day, and then we drive and play Knoxville, and then we head out and play two gigs in the Savannah Hilton Head area. And then we play two gigs the next day in that Hilton Head area again. And then we hit Atlanta. And so that'll be our next run of shows.
So the Southeast.
Yeah, it's cool. We've been out there. I don't know. I think this will be maybe the fourth time. I've been expanding the tour each time by a little bit. So we added Knoxville and we added Atlanta this time. Our last time we went out there, we played Nashville for the first time. So we're just continuing to kind of expand outward, make that little South Carolina area kind of the hub and branch out from there and keep rolling. And we'd like to get up into the Northeast at some point, probably on the next one. But yeah, it's been great. It's a fun. I love it out there. There's people really appreciate live music. They appreciate original music. The Savannah area is just a fun part of the country. I like it a lot, so it should be a fun little run.
You did an AZ tour, an Arizona tour, and you got to play the Yucca Tap Room and Bandidos, which is owned by Roger Klein, who was the lead vocalist of the Refreshments. So what was that like to get in and play those places? Because I think you also worked with Dead Hot Workshop at one of your gigs.
Yeah, I called them up because I said, you know, we're going to play Yucca Tap Room. And that place has been around forever in the Phoenix Tempe area. And actually, the Refreshments kind of got their start there because they way back in the day used to play that club and kind of on the regular. And so it was a really cool honor to get to play at that place. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, we were looking for a couple of bands to share the gig with us and kind of local crew. And yeah, so I called up Dead Hot Workshop thinking, oh, they're probably going to be booked or busy or whatever. And they were like, absolutely, we'd love to do a show with you. So we had a lot of fun. It was a great show. And then, yeah, we went down to Mexico and played in Mexico for the first time. I've played there a bunch with the Peacemakers on trumpet, but I had never played with my own band. And so it was a really cool thing to get to go down there and play. We played two nights down at Bandidos in Rocky Point, and it was great. It was packed. It was a lot of fun. Really cool. And so that's the same thing we're doing out. You know, we went out to South Carolina the first time, played one or two nights at a couple of fun little clubs, and then started to expand outward the next time we went out there, and then so on and so forth. So that's what we'll do in Arizona too, is go back out there, play those same clubs, continue to expand, maybe play Vegas, Flagstaff, whatever. So that's kind of the plan for the next run out that way. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
That's awesome. Did PH or Roger Klein jump on stage with you?
I don't even think they were in town that week. They were, Jeff was able to make the show that helped produce the album. And so it was really cool to have him there. And in fact, at one point we're on stage and our sound guy, who's at a sound booth across the room, was, I don't know where he was. He was doing something, not in the sound booth. And so I start strumming my guitar to start a song, and nothing comes out. And I'm like, you know, I guess they had it muted at the board. And so I'm trying to start this next tune. I'm looking around for the sound guy. It's like super awkward. You know, I'm like, Mr. Sound Guy, you know, where are you? And I see Jeff running across the venue. He's like, I got you. Jumps behind the sound booth that do, 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 you know, like figures it all out in like 3 seconds and is like, okay, you know, on with the show. And so I was very happy, you know, to have him there for multiple reasons, but that was cool because he kind of saved the day as well. But we had a lot of fun playing that show, and it was cool to have him there. And yeah, I think the Peacemakers were on tour that week anyway. So
that's a bummer.
Yeah, they'll get there. We'll get to one of the shows. We'll get to something
You're going to probably open for him again, right?
I mean, it'd be cool at some point. I'd love to get down there for Circus Mexicus at some point. We're new to that area. You know, it's good for us to be doing exactly what we're doing now, which is going out to some of these cities where we know we have fans, because we do have a decent amount of fans and kind of growing fan base in that Phoenix area. And so continuing to build that fan base, and that way, if we get to do something like play Circus Mexicus or whatever, we can help pull people down for the festival. Because of course, that's what matters, right? We want to put people on a bill together that can help each other pull fans. And so we're starting to do that in the Southwest Phoenix area. And I think that's a good thing for future opportunities. And yeah, I would love to, it'd be awesome to open for them someday and get into, you know, maybe one of those festivals.
So let's talk about the new album specifically. How did you come up with the name Sticks and Stones for this? Or not how, but we all heard of Sticks and Stones, but why did you choose that name?
Yeah, it took me a little while to figure out what I was going to name the album. But as I told you guys previously, I kind of gave you the backstory on the name, on where the Trashy Annie name came from. And it was, you know, a lady being mean to me on social media about the clothes that I wear being too young for me. And so that sort of sparked something in me, because initially, like I told you guys on the last interview, you know, it was kind of heartbreaking to have somebody get on there and say mean stuff without it. They don't know anything, you know, they don't know anything about the backstory. They don't know how much work went into all this or how much vulnerability you put out on the table when you put your stuff out there. And to just kind of make flip remarks about the clothes you wear, it just seems so ridiculous. And so of course that, again, kind of broke my heart for like 10 minutes until I was like, screw this lady, you know, whatever, do what you want to do, wear what you want to wear. I don't give a shit what age you are. And so that was how the Trashy Annie name came to be. Well, then, you know, the horrors of social media all along the way have reared their ugly head, because people will just get on and say mean stuff all the time. I get lots of, I mean, you know, 90% amazing feedback from people, and our fans are so awesome and supportive, because most of them have been following this story and the evolution of me and of Trashy Annie all along the way, and they're just so great and supportive. But you also get these asshats who will get on there and just say whatever, you know, trolling, and so
haters.
It's the worst. And who cares? I don't care. My music is not for everybody. Nobody's music is for everybody. That's fine. I don't care. But do you really need to go on and say something mean just for the sake of saying something mean? It doesn't make any sense to me. I would never do that to anybody else. And so it's always been really confusing to me that social media is like this safe place for people to be assholes to each other for no reason. So anyway, I started screenshotting the comments that people would make that were mean, and thought, man, I can do something with this. And so when it came time to name the album, I put all of the screenshots of all these horrible things people have said on the back of the album. So that's the album art. And then the front is called Sticks and Stones, and it's just a big glitter middle finger saying, you know, that's fuck y'all. It's pretty great. And it kind of, for me, the Trashy Annie brand is all about that. It's about being yourself and not listening to people who are mean to you, you know, and just doing, you know, being your best self, and you do you. And so for me, this sort of embodied that by calling this album Sticks and Stones, because I'm going to do this thing, and it makes me proud, and it makes me happy to be able to put this stuff out into the world. And I worked really, really hard on it, and I think it came out great. And if people don't like it, it's okay. You know, I hope they do, but not everybody likes everybody's stuff. And that's an okay thing, but it's not okay to be mean to people for no reason. It really isn't. So that's where the name came from.
Well, it goes back to that saying that I teach my children. Sometimes people are just assholes.
That is a great saying.
Word.
To teach your children. Good for you, Brent.
Until they use it in school.
Yeah, so great.
So speaking of that theme of just embracing who you are and you know, people being assholes for no reason, let's talk about the first track. Let's talk about Born Pretty. I love this track. I love what it represents. I think it's beautiful. I think it's fun. Tell us about it.
Thanks. So it's this is probably, it's at least one of my favorites on the album, if not my favorite. And I think I like the lyrics because it's just about a girl who is okay with herself. And, you know, the lyrics are about, she's got a glass eye and a limp and little bitty titties and a gap tooth and all the things, you know, and the boys judge her and say, how you make it in this big bad city. And she says, I guess I got lucky. I was just born this pretty. And I think that it's just a way to say, be yourself and be okay with that. You know, no matter what you look like or what people say about it or what age you are, any of the things. And that's why I love it so much, because of what it represents. And I think the tune is also catchy and fun, and it's kind of an empowerment tune, you know, for anybody, women, men, whatever.
100%.
You know? So I think that's why I like it so much, and I'm really proud of it, and I love how it came out, and it rocks, man. It's fun. It's got a good groove, and the band is fucking, they sound killer on it. So I really like that tune a lot. Proud of it.
Yeah, it's a great song. Specifically, I like the intro is pretty cool because it sounds like it has bells at the beginning of the song. Are those actual bells?
There aren't. It's just a guitar at the beginning. And I don't think we did any kind of cowbell or anything like that with it. I can't remember because we did so much of it kind of in pieces. And then Jeff went and, you know, made the magic happen, mixing everything together. And who knows what little Easter egg stuff he threw in there to kind of give it some sparkle. So it's possible. I don't think so, but it's definitely possible. And I know what you're talking about. It's got that kind of sonic sound of like a bell at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was hearing it, and I was like, am I hearing this right? When I first heard it, I was like, that sounds like bells. That's kind of cool. But the riff of that song is really good too. And the guitarist gets to play, and I appreciate that. My favorite lyric, you've already mentioned some of, unibrow longer than an old highway, lazy glass eye that keeps on rolling away, short right leg, and I got a little sway, but a girl with a limp never had a bad day. So those are great lyrics. So specifically writing that, what made you link unibrow and glass eye together? What was it about those two that you were like, this is a marriage? Glass eye.
I don't know that I can tell you the answer to that. Some of those lyrics sort of come to me. The way that I write music is almost always visual. I kind of visualize a person or a scenario or something along those lines and kind of write around that concept. So in my mind, I was kind of picturing a person, right? Like a person that had an eye patch or like a, a unibrow that she's got to shave every day or doesn't, you know, and hairy ass armpits and, you know, no bra and a wife beater. Like, I'm just picturing a person like that. It's like, fuck it, this is me, take it or leave it. And so I don't know how it all sort of came together lyrically like that, but I like that. I like those lines too. I will say, I like the unibrow. And it was kind of sometimes I think about how to write a song. I'll have like a prompt, like, okay, let me see if I can write a song that has to do with a unibrow. And so sometimes you can kind of build out from there, you know, and this might have come from a little bit of that as well.
Corner by the city limit sign, I chip my tooth down on Hollywood and Vine. Greasy long hair, but I like the way it shines. A little bitty booty, but I shake it just fine.
That's what I was wondering, because I was wondering, you know, oh, I want to do something with this. And then, oh, I can add this too. Oh, and if this was going on, this could be the other thing I have going on too. So I figured, and I was wondering, did you have anyone that you were bouncing these ideas off of? Were you like, is this funny? Is this stupid? Or did you just write it and go?
I don't do a lot of that because everybody's got such a different opinion about music. It's such a subjective thing. So if I listen too much about what people think, I can change what I think, you know, and it can affect where I think the song needs to go. And so I try to get it to, I try to get the bones of it down. You know, I try to get the melody down. Sometimes I'll be a little bit work in progress on the lyrics, and I'll maybe send it to a person or two to take a listen, you know, maybe some of my producers or whatever, and say, you know, does this have bones, or do we really need to rework it? But a lot of the changes happen in pre-production versus early on, because I like to get songs in my own head where I think they should be as best as I can do with whatever's in my own brain before I take it to anybody else. And then once I get it, as you know, it might be a little half baked still, but once I get the basic melody and as many of the lyrics as I can get, then I'll take it and say, okay, let's work it out in pre-production. And then maybe I need to go back and rework some stuff. Born Pretty actually started as a different song. It actually started as God Save the Queen, which is another tune on this album. They sort of sprouted from the same lump of clay. And so the tune for God Save the Queen, the chorus is Let's Rock. And so when I had those lyrics attached to the groove for Born Pretty, it was just too slow, because we would get to the chorus and be like, Let's Rock, you know, and it just didn't have the same effect. And so,
no,
you know, so once I got into the studio, I was like, yeah, these lyrics don't go with this groove, but I can write new lyrics because I've had this idea in my head. And so I took that groove and rewrote all the lyrics for it and the melody, and used the lyrics from what it was originally Born Pretty and moved them over to what is now God Save the Queen. So sometimes that happens, you know, where maybe the lyrics and the groove just don't quite match up, because you need to have a feel, you know, it needs to. God Save the Queen has this Let's Rock thing. Well, that's got to be an up-tempo kind of punk kind of feeling song. And otherwise, it's just not going to work with the lyrics. So there was a mismatch. So sometimes that happens.
I thought I was for sure Brent would have something to say after that. I don't know why.
I thought she answered that very well.
She did. She answered it beautifully.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I was waiting for Brent. Well. Shut up. I was waiting for Brent to be like, that's happened to me. But no.
You just gave me the bird. What the hell's wrong with you, lady? Put your glass on.
I won't go that far. I heard it. She did okay. Her answer was all right.
It's fine. Haters gonna hate.
Suffice.
Hey, I wasn't hating. I wasn't hating, people.
You weren't applauding either.
There's a lot of exciting things going on in her music, so.
I know. Why don't you ask another question then?
Well, we need to start talking about Drift Away, and then I can start asking questions.
So let's talk about Drift Away. Tell us about that one.
Okay, so you had told me that
I just asked her a question, and then you jumped in.
I thought you were asking me a question. Go right ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
I apologize. Please.
Oh, yes. Okay. So Drift Away. Oh,
apparently it was me.
So Drift Away, I love Dobie Gray. I didn't know he didn't actually write that song. He had covered it, and that's when it blew up. And so
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that actually all this time. I've been crediting him with writing the song, but he did not write the tune. So anyway, but he covered it and it blew up, and I've loved it ever since. I was a kid. I used to listen to him and that song on my mom's record player when I was a kid. And it's just, I don't know, it's one of those tunes that I've just loved always. And so I wanted to cover it, and I wanted to do something a little different with it. And so we just kind of started messing with it in the studio. I wasn't sure. I kind of went through a couple of different iterations of that tune, because I started out having it be mostly piano based and slow. And then I was like, you know, I feel like we could do something to speed this up, and then took it into the studio and we messed with it. And the guys were like, yeah, let's try, you know, this. And so we went down that route, and then it came out really cool. And there's a bunch of horns that play on it. All these Arizona guys that play horns that are amazing. And PH was a big part of the reason that tune sounds like it does, because he had this kind of vision for the horn section in particular. And Jeff and I were like, yeah, horns, take them or leave them. It's fine. You know, and I always loved horns because I started as a trumpet player, but I wasn't so gung ho about horns on this tune as ultimately it ended up being the exact right thing to put on a song. I mean, it came out so cool. So I think the horns sort of make the song, actually. So it was really cool. And I got to play piano on it, which I'm no piano player, but it was fun to get to play a little bit of keys, because I don't usually do that. So yeah, it was a good song. I think it came out great. I'm getting good feedback on it. People are seeming to like it, and it's going pretty well. It just came out this last week, so it hasn't been out for very long.
You had told me that you did a cover song, but I was not expecting, I was expecting this to be an original for some reason. When I pulled it up, I just thought, I bet she's going to do something cool with this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know this song. It's a cover.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's reggae feel. I was like,
yeah, it's got kind of a soul thing going, you know?
Yeah. It had just a cool thing going on, which is different than the versions I've heard of it. Cause there's quite a few versions out there. So
yeah,
that made it different. And then the horns, like you're saying, that was kind of a cool touch, because I've also never heard horns played during that song. So that's cool. So my question is this, and this is related to songwriter publishing royalty questions. Tell us about how you chose the song, which you kind of already did. And then tell us how you're managing the royalty restrictions, rules, guidelines related to this song.
Yeah, so that's a good question for musicians who, I never actually gotten this question from family members and stuff too. Just curious, if you do a cover song, how does that work? You know, if you're covering somebody else's tune. This is the only one I've ever done, so I'm learning as well. But my record label handles that piece of things for me. And so the way that it works, though, as far as my sort of newbie limited understanding of all of this stuff, is there are the original writer would get a little fraction of a cent, right? Because there's always this writer share of the royalties that are floating around out there, all these little fractions of pennies that, you know, people get from Spotify or whatever. And so there are performance royalties and there are writer's share royalties. And so the performance is mine. And so anything related to the performance royalties come to me, but I didn't write the song. I just did the arrangement. And so the original writer of the lyrics gets a little fraction of a cent every time we play it, or it gets played on YouTube or whatever, somebody performs it out in the world. So that's how that works. And that's one thing that's been great about having a label, is that they handle collection of all of that stuff. So they'll deal with the licensing issues in doing a cover song, because you have to, you know, there's some licensing things involved with making sure that if you're going to put a video, there's sync licensing. So if you're going to put a video to that song, it's one thing to record an audio recording and put it out in the world. But if you want to put a video to it, there's a whole nother side of things that you have to deal with. And because we did a music video for it, that's a piece of what they needed to wade through and handle for us as well. So I'm not privy to exactly how it works, because they handle that piece, but that's the basic idea, is there's just little fractions of cents floating around, and they go to the people that, you know, the person that wrote the song, the person that performed the song, and so on and so forth.
I've actually been looking at that. And so if you don't have a record company, you can still record a cover like this and release it. There are ways where you can purchase credits ahead of time, so that say you think you're going to get 5 million spins. So then you purchase those credits, you know, and then you pay for that up front. So then when it's all played, you're not directly paying for it as you're doing it. So I just thought that was interesting and wondered if that's how you went about it, or how you did not go about it. So you used a record company, which is awesome, because work is always better.
Yes. Yes. Correct. And before I had a record label, I looked into all this stuff too, because I was always interested in doing the song. And so I wanted to understand it. And yeah, the Harry Fox Agency, you can go in there and purchase credits for a cover song. And then, like you said, when it gets used up and you've sold X number of records or streams or whatever, and it's used all your credits, you can just go in and buy more credits. And so It's not a hard process. It's hard when you want to put a video to it, because if you want to put a video to it, all of a sudden you have to get a sync license, and that's a whole different thing than a mechanical license. Mechanical license covers the audio recording. Sync license covers the video piece. And that part, a lot of times you have to get permission from the original author of the music. And so that can be a little bit more of a challenge. And I'm glad I don't have to deal with that part, because I don't even really know how to go about that side of things. The mechanical license is not too hard to come by. And even YouTube is interesting anyway, because a lot of times you can put stuff out there and they've already negotiated with the artist on some stuff. So it'll say, this song is, you know, you're allowed to use this. You're allowed to put this out there in the world. And it seems like YouTube is kind of going this direction of sort of ask forgiveness, not permission. You know, if they get on you about doing a cover song and, you know, somebody complains and you make a bajillion dollars, well, you're probably going to have to pay some of that out. But, you know, the chances of them getting pissy about it and shutting you down are pretty slim. Because at the end of the day, if you're doing somebody's tune, it's also getting it out there for them as well. So it really is kind of a rising tide raises all ships situation. And I know it's a very new world we're trying to navigate musically, because this isn't something that existed 15 or 20 years ago. We didn't know how to deal with any of this. So I think that all of it's kind of changing and everybody's sort of learning together how we deal with all this stuff.
So I have a follow-up question. So yeah. In general, what are some reasons why an artist would cover a cover?
Why would we release a cover tune just in general as an artist? Yeah. Is that your question? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that certain songs resonate with all of us. And if something, I won't do a cover just to do a cover. You know, I'm not just going to do a cover because it gives people, I think that there's, let me back up. So when you do a cover song in a show, it's different, right? Because it is for the purposes of Trashy Annie, we do, I don't know, 99% original music, and occasionally we throw in a cover. The reason we do that is because until we are big and huge and famous and everybody knows all our songs, people just want something kind of familiar to give their ear a break, because otherwise it doesn't matter how good your music is, you're hitting them with an hour or 2 hours of original stuff. It's just hard for the brain to take all that in. So we like to do a cover every 5 or 6 songs or whatever, just to give people something familiar. But if we're going to do it, I don't want to go out there and try to compete with the person who originally made that tune. You're never going to do it the way they did it, nor should you even try. You know, do it your way. And so that's how I feel about Drift Away. I was like, I love this tune, but I want to do it our way. And I want to do it as part of the show. And it came out so well. I thought, yeah, let's release this. Let's not just make this a live show tune, because I do some other covers that I'm probably never going to release. But this one was different and special enough to me, and it resonated enough with me that I wanted it to be out in the world with our version, because I think it's one people will like, and we did our own spin on it. So I think there are a lot of reasons people release cover tunes. But for me, that's why I do it. It's just, this one meant something to me, and I thought we did it in a unique way, and I thought it was cool. And so we wanted to put it out there. But I do some other covers that probably won't ever end up in the studio. And I only do those because I want to do something live that people, you know, have a little familiarity with.
Day after day, I'm more confused. I look for the light through the pouring rain. That's a game that I hate to lose, and I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? I'm giving the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Giving the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll.
I remember when you were rebuilding your band and you were like,
which time, dude? Which time?
The like first that
for the
time
87th time. The,
yeah, but at one point it was like Ace Ventura when he gets the stake through one leg and gets the stake through the other and he's going, This is like, what the hell? But
it's,
you know,
I feel like it's been through that so many times, and I feel like this is the first time in any iteration of this band where I feel like, okay, I think this is a long-term crew that's gonna stick around for a while. Cause I got some guys that are just, they're talented and they're professional, you know? They don't slug the alcohol on stage till they can't stand up, you know? They know the songs. They practice at home and show up to rehearsal to brush things up instead of coming to rehearsal not knowing anything. So I'm glad I've gone through all of the other stuff for the last couple of years because it gives me such an appreciation for real professional musicians. Cause a lot of people don't treat it like a job. You know, they show up, they drink a ton, they don't prepare, they get on stage, they kind of half-ass it. It's not that for me. I've got much bigger plans for this band than that, you know? And so I think it's important to have people around me that feel the same way. And it feels good. We just had a really, really good show on Saturday at a really cool new Austin venue called Regal Rooms. And it was the grand opening for the venue, and it's going to be awesome. And we just had a really good show, and it felt really good to have that, have everybody on the same page and kind of with the same goals in mind.
We're always happy when we talk to people multiple times and we get to see the change and the growth. And I think you're going to do a lot of cool shit, man. I'm excited to watch it.
Thank you. I hope so. I'm excited too.
Oh, I don't have anything else. I'm just really happy that we got to talk to you tonight. Thank you for making time to talk to us tonight. I know we were trying to do it a little further back, but I wanted to get you before you went on the road and not have to wait till you came back.
Well, I appreciate it. And I always love talking to you guys, and hopefully, you know, we'll keep doing this and keep evolving the story together because it's fun. And, you know, Brent has spent a lot of time with me just talking me through a lot of this stuff. And I'm super appreciative of it because it's nice to have mentors in this business who have done a lot of things. You know, you need to have people that have been down all the various little roads and can share. And I want to be that for other people too, because that's how we all get better. And it's how we all, you know, get where we want to go in this business. And so it's, you know, we can't do it alone. So I'm just always appreciative of you guys. And Brent, you've provided me a lot of insight along the way. And so it's great to be here with you guys for sure.
That was so nice.
Oh, that was so sweet.
It was. Don't tell anyone. I don't want the expectations to change. I want them to be down here. Expectations.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Sound Pollution Podcast. We are excited that you joined us again. We really thank Treshy Annie for coming back to our show. She's a longtime supporter, and we love and support her, and we love having her on. Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, share, and download. Go buy the musicians' music. Go buy their merch. Buy our merch. I'm going to make new merch. You should buy that, too. Go to our Patreon page. We're not trying to be rich. We would just like to not have three jobs. That's all. I can't think of anything else, Brent.
I think you covered it all. Very good.
I think I covered it all. I think I'm a good girl.
I think you should be proud.
I should be proud. I should be proud. I should be in bed.
You should be proud.
My fucking geriatric ass. All right.
May.
Make some
noise.